From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, very cool. I can't wait to hear the Farm and Ranch Report here in just a few minutes. I was checking in with our friends Russell Nimitz and Lane Nordland with the Western Ag Network. I was telling them, hey, guys, I'm going to be at the Farm Bureau in Missoula tomorrow on Wednesday. I can't believe that's already happening. I said, hey, you guys should come join me on the show live. Of course, we get their Farm and Ranch Reports a couple of times in the morning anyway, but it's always fun to get a chance to see them in person and kind of get the unofficial Farm and Ranch Report of what folks are really talking about behind the scenes, and in addition to the, you know, the formal report as well. But Russell says, hey, I'm already here and would love to join you. So we'll look forward to seeing Russell Nimitz tomorrow, and so many other folks. By the way, I know some of you early risers in particular are the Farm and Ranch crowd who will be there for the Farm Bureau convention tomorrow. Stop by and see me. I'll be set up right by the registration table. So that's always a good spot to be. Then you get a chance to see everybody on their way in. But yeah, stop by, say hi, or especially if you want to be on the microphone, we'll have microphones set up for you, just like we have phone lines set up for you right now. Also, to some of you that are listening to the program, Give me some ideas. If you know somebody who's going to be at Farm Bureau, who would be good to talk to, or what do you think would be some good questions or some good topics to cover? Because you guys in particular know what type of ground to cover. You know, we're back here in the studio. We're getting good information. We're reading a lot of information. We're talking, and I tried to get out and travel the state and talk to folks as well, but you are on the ground. It's kind of like, it reminds me of our friend Haley Shipp when she was a farm broadcaster. I remember talking with Haley off air, and I was just asking her, you know, what it was like being a farm broadcaster, for example. And she says, you know, it's interesting because she grew up on a cattle ranch, still has a working cattle ranch. She says, but so the farm side was a totally new thing to her. You know, she understood the ranch side. She understood the beef side. But then she had to learn, you know, peas and lentils and wheat and everything else. And so that's part of the fun, I guess, too. But anyway, so that being said, hey, you grow something different than what another guy on the other side of the state might be growing. And so that's why all of this different feedback for questions and topic ideas comes in handy. Speaking of beef, President Trump talking about those great McDonald's burgers last night. Did you see he was at like a McDonald's convention? I did just hear the report from the Fox News update, and yeah, some great sound bites there from President Trump talking about you know, inflation and everything else, but this was the best soundbite yet.
I'm thrilled to be here with the men and the women who are really the heart and soul of one of the greatest, most admired, and most successful companies in the history of the world, frankly. The one and only McDonald's. I've gone there a couple of times. And I'm honored to stand before you as the very first former McDonald's fry cook ever to become president of the United States. And I actually was there for about 30 minutes, and that was 30 minutes longer than Kamala was there. Despite her job at McDonald's, that didn't work out too well. And the person at McDonald's that informed us off the record that she never worked there, whoever you are, we appreciate that. That was really nice.
I love the former fry cook line, now president of the United States. All right, quick break. Lots to talk about back after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. A mix of clouds and sunshine develops today with high temperature readings sustained from around 53 in Bozeman to near 60 in the Billings area. For tonight, partly to mostly cloudy skies. Overnight lows will trend back in the mid and upper 30s. Isolated showers Wednesday, along with some partial sun, mid-40s in Bozeman, mid-50s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
Since the start of the second Trump administration, America has been serious about protection of borders. But within a year's time, the World Cup will happen here. As President Trump said,
this will be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to showcase the greatness of American world-class athletic competition.
And the president wants to ensure those who come to our shores
are properly vetted and able to come to the United States next summer easily.
President Trump introduced the FIFA Pass to make sure ticket holders will have their entry visa processing expedited. The Departments of State and Homeland Security are key to the process. DHS Secretary Kristi Noem said, host cities will have every opportunity
to partner on technologies and screening technologies, drone technology,
all to protect an event expected to bring billions to the Mexican, Canadian, and U.S. economies. Grinnell Scott, Fox News.
Well, I said wait till Monday, but in reality, I had no idea that the Missoulian was going to print this crazy story over the weekend. Yeah, the Missoulian ran a story where they were blaming your pets for climate change. One crazy story after another. We almost expect it at this point, don't we? Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Yeah, we talked about that story and so much more on Monday. What are we going to talk about on Tuesday? Well, why don't you tell us? Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard statewide. Hey,
this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, the wolf harvest quota near Yellowstone National Park has already been reached. Montana FWP halts wolf hunting north of Yellowstone. Just saw that story in the Billings Gazette, and it's like, that. This is why this quota is just far too low. Now, look, I get it. I think the folks at FWP know that the quota is too low. They're trying to posture, I think, for the bureaucracy and for the courts in order to try to, you know, keep things, you know, to deal with the absurdity of the Endangered Species Act, et cetera. But, man, we've just got way too many wolves in this state. That's why I've been, frankly, it's funny when I hear so many of my Western Montana friends that are hunting in Central Montana. Well, too many freaking wolves in parts of Western Montana. That's what everybody says. All right, let's see. Lots to talk about this morning here on the show. We want to hear what you want to talk about as well. 406-294-0970. Let's see. Oh, okay. Caden, real quick off air. I was gonna play the longer version of President Trump's remarks last night at the McDonald's event, but it looks like the computer issues everybody seems to be having this morning, that one didn't pull up. But that's all right. Hey, let's do the shorter version here. A little bit about what President Trump had to say about the affordability crisis in America.
But Joe Biden's prices and his hikes cost a typical American family an estimated $33,000 and hit your workers and your customers and your small businesses very, very hard. The Biden administration started the affordability crisis, and my administration is ending it. I'm ending it. Prices are way down. If you just look, so we don't have, as I said, the inflation, but our energy prices are way down. And, you know, despite hamburgers being a big business, energy is one business that's bigger. When you get energy down, everything else is affected. If you start bringing the price of gas, that's like a massive tax cut. And they were selling, you know, they were having gasoline at $4.75 a gallon and $4.50, $3.50, $3.75. We're going to be able to hit $2 a gallon in the not-too-distant future. But let's say we're $2.50, $2.70. Other than places like California, that's not fair because they put so high a tax on that you're really paying a lot of that price is the tax that you're paying to government, which is horrible, actually, what they do. The price of gasoline and the price of energy is way down. So when energy comes down, you make the donuts, you make the chicken, you make whatever you're making. Everything is all about energy. You have to deliver it. You have the trucks. You have the fuel. When energy comes down, and it's come down fast, we had an expression, drill, baby, drill. And I drilled, baby, drilled, I tell you, we drill. And last month it was announced we produced more oil and gas than any time in the history of our country by far. And when you do that, everything comes down. You don't even have to look at the numbers. And it's all beautifully coming down. And as per your chief executive and your chairman and everybody else, they tell me the prices at McDonald's are coming down. It's moving down. Unfortunately, they were so high in the last administration that people aren't that happy because it was so high. So even though it's coming down and coming down a lot, they want to see where it was, like when I was president. And we'll be getting it very close to that number, maybe even better, depending on what we do with energy. But the energy's coming way down. In the 9 months since I took office, we've stopped inflation in the tracks since January. The core inflation has been the lowest in just about 8 years. Just changed. It was 4 years. Now it's 8 years. It just changed about an hour. They just said, sir, if you want, we can rewrite the speech. I said, no, I can remember it very nicely. Thank you. I'm not Biden. In the past 6 months, the price of breakfast items has fallen 14%. Bread prices are down. Dairy prices are down. And the price of eggs has declined 86% since March, and much more than that since when I took over. Because when I took over, it was an egg crisis, as we said. And I want to give a very special thanks to McDonald's for slashing prices for your most popular items, bringing back extra value meals, and I hear you're recommitting to the affordable options of Americans that we really know and love, all of the items that we love.
All right. Thankfully, that worked out well. I thought that was the shorter version of the inflation and affordability soundbite, but that was a longer version. So, yeah, good to go. All right. Thanks, Caden, for snagging that one for us. It was like an extra value meal there of President Trump's McDonald's remarks. Let's see. You know what? Hey, since we're getting short on time before the Farm and Ranch report here, Stephen Miller, White House Deputy Chief of Staff, also weighing in. This one coming via Rapid Response 47 on X.
Well, I agree with you that the Democrat media lies for a living, that they're professional liars. So it's a good opportunity to review the facts. Under President Trump in the last few months, we have seen the first significant reductions in prices and the cost of living since the last time President Trump was in office. For 4 years, we saw record-setting double-digit inflation. Inflation upwards of 20%. And now under President Trump, inflation is back down to desired benchmark levels of a little bit over 2%. But to be clear, President Trump is doing more every single day to keep bringing costs down. President Trump is fighting to reduce the cost of energy to historic lows. Did you know that right now, as an example, Americans are spending less of their disposable income on energy because of President Trump's work to open up American energy than at any point in 2 decades. So he's removed all the regulations, opened up drilling, opened up oil, opened up natural gas. He's brought down the price of household goods. He's brought down the price of groceries. He has fought like a warrior to bring costs down.
And it's not even, we haven't even gotten through his first year back in office yet.
I'm Chad Perkins at the Speaker's Lobby. Sometime the world changes on the conversation with a teenager. Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced she would not run for re-election next year and retire after nearly 4 decades in the House. Pelosi was born into a political family. Her father, Tommy D'Alessandro, was a congressman and mayor of Baltimore. Pelosi was involved in politics, but as a fundraiser, chair of the California Democratic Party. But party elders approached Pelosi when a House seat opened up in San Francisco in 1987. Pelosi was the mother of five, and her youngest, Alexandra, was a senior in high school. Pelosi went to Alexandra and asked for her daughter's blessing to run. Pelosi was concerned about being there for her youngest child's senior year. Prom, award ceremonies, college visits. Pelosi said that Alexandra looked at her and in the vernacular of the day said, quote, Mom, get a life. And thus, Pelosi ran for Congress, won a contested primary, became the first female Speaker of the House, and a powerful speaker at that. In other words, quite a life. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. perfectly imperfect, beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This Christmas, it's time for the Daybreak Ag Report from the Western Ag Network.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Russell Nimitz. Well, on Monday, the Trump administration released a proposal to redefine waters of the U.S. to conform with the Supreme Court's ruling in Sackett versus EPA. The proposal comes after the EPA held 9 public listening sessions across the country during the past year. And here in Missoula this week, at the Montana Farm Bureau's annual convention, MFBF Government Affairs Senior Director Nicole Rolfe told me that the proposed WOTUS rule protects the environment while also respecting our farmers and ranchers.
We are very excited to have the new rule out for us to be able to digest. As you know, this rule has been a constant back and forth for over 10 years now. And we're hoping to see a rule that actually provides farmers and ranchers with clean water and clear rules. And we believe that this is going to do that by truly narrowing the federal government's jurisdictional authority over private property and bringing the rule more in line with Sackett and the Clean Water Act.
Now, the proposal will be up for a 45-day public comment period once it's officially posted to the Federal Register. And Nicole encourages folks out here in farm and ranch country to take a few minutes to submit a comment. In the meantime, for more details, you can visit us online at westernagnetwork.com. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this. KC, Wyoming is the place to be November 22nd for Largent & Sons Desert Mart Prime Fuel Sale. 77 coming to and 15 fall yearling bull sale, along with 8 outstanding fall weaned bull calves. Bred for dependability, explosive athleticism, and incredible outcross potential. This set of bulls will bring power stack, proven genetic potential to your herd. Lunch at noon, sale at 1 at the ranch in KC with online bidding through the livestock link. More at largentandsons.com.
You've got enough to worry about. Cold weather, short days, and cows that need to hold condition through winter. FlaxLick tubs by SmartLick Supplements deliver omega-3s that support pregnancy and fetal development, so you have more calves on the ground this spring. It's self-fed, weatherproof nutrition that works while you rest easier. Feed smarter, not harder. Go to SmartLick.com. That's SmartLick.com to find your dealer.
Mark your calendars. Wednesday, December 3rd at 1 p.m. Join McDonnell Angus for their Beef Country Genetics Sale at the Midland Bull Test in Columbus, Montana. Selling 150 fall and coming 2-year-old bulls and 30 commercial bred heifers. Efficiency-proven genetics deliver up to 20% more savings in your cow herd and at the feedlot while maintaining weaning weight. All it takes is using the right bull and the right program. Request your catalog and view videos now at McDonaldBeefCountry.com. Sale broadcast live at FrontierLiveSale.com.
Well, Senate lawmakers will hold a hearing this week to review the Bureau of Land Management's planning work and how it impacts the permitting of livestock grazing, energy development, and mining on millions of acres that the agency oversees across the West. Now, the Energy and Natural Resources Committee will meet tomorrow to take a deep dive into the Federal Land Policy and Management Act and consider whether the agency is complying with the law's mandate that BLM manage the 245 million acres under its care for multiple use and sustain yield. Those in the know say that a near certain topic of debate will be the BLM's highly contentious public lands rule implemented last year, which the Trump administration has proposed revoking. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, since we're already talking about affordability, let's stay on that track here. First off, though, I definitely want to highlight that big news that Russell Nimitz just mentioned there at the top of his ag report this morning, talking about WOTUS, the waters of the U.S. My goodness, how long have we been dealing with WOTUS? First started, what, under the Obama regime, then Biden doubled down. President Trump once again getting rid of that nonsense. But, yeah, it's kind of like anything. They go through a process to install it, and then you have to go through a process to uninstall it. It's like a computer virus that you get on your computer, but worse, because obviously it was going to have such an impact on our land and on our farmers and ranchers and on our economy as well. But, yeah, let's see. TheFederalist.com has a write-up on that news as well. The soon-to-be-replaced significant nexus rule meant a ditch in a rainstorm or pooling water that occurs only in the rainy season, could be grounds for the federal government preventing land use. The Trump administration is about to curb an overzealous Obama-era environmental regulation by revising the definition of waters of the United States under the Clean Water Act. So that process is now underway, and I would echo what Russell encouraged as well, and what Nicole Rolfe with the Farm Bureau encouraged, which is, hey, get your comments in backing these changes. Those comments are still important throughout this process here. All right, what about affordability? Britt Hume was on Special Report with Brett Baer yesterday, also weighing in on the president's remarks about inflation.
Yeah, he's right about the fact that inflation, the fact that has come down, has come way down from its peak during the Biden years, but the prices that went up then during the Biden years remain higher. That's what happens in inflation. It takes a while for people's wages and so on to catch up with that. There are certain areas where prices do come down, you know, volatile prices in groceries and fuel and that sort of thing, and they have done that to some extent, but other things are going up. And people feel that every day, and they are still feeling the effects of the Biden inflation. So for the president to go around saying, as he did there for a while, that everything was great and then prices are coming down and all that, that there's some truth to that. But the problem is it's political malpractice to tell people that what they feel and are experiencing day by day is not real. That doesn't work. The Biden people tried that. Remember, inflation was supposed to be transitory, but it never quite transited, and we ended up with higher prices over a long period of time, and they still persist to some extent.
Yeah, and what does this mean as we get closer to the midterms? I mean, it's really how people feel about what they're facing at their kitchen table.
Well, the administration can hope that we'll have some growth in the economy that may help to boost wages and make these prices more affordable, because not because they're coming down so much as people are better able to pay for them. And that's the way it usually works over time.
All right, let's hold it right there. More reaction from Britt Hume right after this Fox News update. And you know, these environmentalists constantly trying to drive up the price of everything. Tartar sauce, please. Do you think they're going to put a little more tartar sauce on there? I bet you they do. Or they at least offer it on the side. We'll see. Oh, that was funny. Hey, real quick, got a nice message on the Montana Talks app here. This one comes from Tater in Forsyth. Been a while since we've gotten a message from Tater in Forsyth. Great to hear from you. Tater says this: a friend and I went to see Aaron Lewis in Deadwood. The backdrop of the stage was an American flag. Before he came out to the stage, parts of the national anthem was played, alternating with parts of the Pledge of Allegiance, which was read by President Trump. He ended the concert by saying, "God bless Charlie Kirk and President Trump." My friend caught a guitar pick that Aaron threw. It had a picture of Trump on it. His music doesn't necessarily get played on the radio a lot because he doesn't give a crap what they think of his beliefs and that he is a conservative. Tater, thanks for that message. I'll bet that was a great trip to Deadwood. We dropped through Deadwood on the way to a volleyball tournament a few months ago, and I definitely would love to spend a little bit more time there here one of these days. All right, let's see. Back to it with Brett Hume's talking about the fact that, you know, inflation just skyrocketed so much under Joe Biden that even though President Trump has leveled it off, the hard part is peeling back all of that inflation that Biden brought on America. Joe Biden and John Tester, I would add.
But this is kind of a devilish problem because the problem really was created in the previous administration, and it is hard to undo that. And so I think, you know, it's going to be an issue in the midterms. The best thing the president can do is to let people know that he recognizes that for some prices are too high and remain that way, and he's sorry about that, and will do everything he can to try to ameliorate the problem. What you don't do is to pretend it isn't there.
What about this turnabout from the president about the vote on Epstein, the House vote that we expect is going to happen tomorrow? Now enough votes to release the Epstein files. It would have to get through the Senate and his desk. He's saying that's fine by him. He wants to move on from the issue.
Well, look, he has the authority on his own right now as the president to order the Justice Department to release those files.
And they have released tens of thousands of them, but not all of them, obviously.
This is true. And look at it this way. I think these files are going to turn out to be a dead end. I don't make predictions very often, but I think that's how this is going to come out. So it's not a good idea for the president to appear to be opposed to that because it makes it look like he's trying to cover something up. I don't really think he is. And there are other reasons why you might resist that, because the grand jury material and so on, things are supposed to investigative material is supposed to be kept confidential. But I think this is going to come out anyway. And
all right, there is already, that was Britt Hume on Special Report. By the way, there is already one fairly high-profile casualty of some of what's been released already. Lawrence Summers, Bill Clinton's Treasury Secretary, big surprise there, right, is now basically stepping out of public life following some new revelations. Nobody's surprised there, huh?
Kitchen table, but in Helena.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. Let's go back to this affordability topic, but from another angle here. Again, okay, let's put Joe Biden aside for a moment. And you got to add John Tester into this, by the way. I know some of you are thinking, Aaron, why do you keep linking Joe Biden and John Tester with regard to all the failures that we saw in the 4 years prior to President Trump, the massive spike in inflation, the invasion on our southern border, so many other problems? Look, if you've been paying attention, John Tester cannot let it go. John Tester is still trying to be the puppet master of the Montana Democrat Party, which is kind of ironic when you think about it, because John Tester, basically, he watched the entire Montana Democrat Party burn down all around him. But John Tester, he sure took care of himself, didn't he? John Tester was one of the people stabbing Brian Schweitzer in the back, you know, the former Democrat Governor Brian Schweitzer. And, you know, in fact, they had the table set for Brian Schweitzer's U.S. Senate race announcement in Lewistown. They had the tables were set for the announcement dinner. The silverware was all on the table, and then he scrapped it because basically he was being harpooned by John Tester and Max Baucus. Yeah, Max Baucus, the guy that sold us out to China, and then old flip-flop flat top. But yet John Tester is still trying to be the puppet master inside the Montana Democrat Party. If you guys missed George Blackard when he was on with us for Freedom Friday a couple of Fridays ago, I confirmed the story once again. Remember the whole, and now we're getting off in another tangent here, but I feel like this is important because John Tester is going to continue to try. He just can't let it go, even though he lost a massive U.S. Senate race, and he lost big, by the way. He is still trying to keep his fingers in control of the Montana Democrat Party because he wants to control his legacy narrative. which is very narcissistic when you think about it. Like some people, when they, you know, when the people have told them, okay, it's time for you to retire from politics, they say, okay, yeah, I'm gonna retire, and I appreciate the time that I had to serve, and they go on, and they continue to serve in other capacities, whatever. Some of these guys, although you question whether you would actually call it service or not, when they were being self-served and making themselves rich in government office, but anyway. But no, he, the reason why he is trying to be the puppet master of the Montana Democrat Party is not to actually help Democrats. It's to help himself. I'm not being mean here. I'm just spitting out facts here. Look at when they had the Democrat Party's convention in Livingston. And remember that whole, you know, kerfuffle. I don't even know what that word means, but it sounds like it's appropriate here. Remember that whole deal they had where the Democrats got together, they elected their new leaders, and then they said, nope, we don't like those results. We're going to change those results. Kind of like when they kicked Joe Biden off the ballot and they installed Kamala Harris as their candidate, the same people who chant, democracy. So they elected the vice chair of the Montana Democrats, and what did we find out about the guy who was elected vice chair of the Montana Democrat Party? He had apparently said some awful things about throwing a woman down the stairs because he didn't like her political beliefs, something to that effect. That's not why they forced the guy out of office as the vice chair of the Montana Democrats. It was what happened after the convention that got him kicked out of being the vice chair of the Montana Democrats. He was basically criticizing John Tester for losing the U.S. Senate race in 2024 here in Montana. That's why they removed him from office. Not because he was talking about throwing a woman down the stairs. Ah, violence against women. The Democrats don't apparently care about that. Just look at what has happened to women in the illegal alien invasion of this country. No, they were mad. John Tester and his buddies were mad that he said something negative about John Tester. I mean, think about that. They overturned their own Democrat Party election because he said something that John Tester didn't like. Okay, so anyway. But John Tester is still trying to be the puppet master behind the scenes. He's going to do everything he can to try to steer the Democrat Party. So that's why it's important to continue to call people like that out, because if he ever were to decide to run for office ever again, we can't let people forget what that guy did to this country by voting for Obamacare, the key deciding vote for Obamacare. By the illegal alien invasion, by this mass transgender hysteria. I mean, so many different things. The runaway inflation. I mean, absolutely just insane. Okay, what was I going to get to? Oh, yeah, the radical environmentalists, of which John Tester is, of course, a radical environmentalist. So when we talk about affordability, we have to talk about the environmental left. They are the ones driving up the prices of so many things. With their lawsuits, with their regulations, you name it. Isn't it interesting? So yesterday, I think here in the 6 o'clock hour of the show, and then later we did more in the 9 o'clock hour of the show as well, we were talking about the COP30 climate summit, which, by the way, is that thing still going on? Are they still burning carbon and wasting time down in Brazil as part of this COP30 climate summit? But I wrote an article for our Montana Talks website where I kind of summed up what's been in the news regarding not just the COP30 climate summit, but just the climate alarmist agenda in general. Here you go. They couldn't even use the toilets down at their climate summit. And apparently they had to chop down the rainforest in order to build a road to the place where they're having their current climate summit. Boy, that's rich, isn't it? And then what about all of the failed predictions of the glaciers in glacier melting? Plus, did Bill Gates do a 180 on climate? So yesterday when I was sharing a bunch of this news about, you know, the Missoulian blaming your pets for climate change, It was interesting because a lot of people were commenting on there. A lot of our Montana folks were commenting on there saying, hey, Bill Gates said this is no longer a problem. Did the Missoulian not get the memo? So what is Bill Gates now saying about climate change? According to Fox News, Bill Gates now says that climate change, quote, will not lead to humanity's demise. So is he doing a 180? I agree. One of our commenters, I forget who it was, I apologize. They said it's more like a 135. It's not a 180. It's not a full turn by Bill Gates. It's a partial turn. He's admitting that it will not lead to humanity's demise, but they still have to keep a foothold in there because they profit off of this hysteria, of course. So it won't lead to humanity's demise, but it's still a big, 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 big problem for you to give money to Bill Gates to solve, basically. That's the end result here. But anyway, very interesting. I just saw a poll earlier this morning. Let me see. Let me get into my – I don't think I printed this one yet. Finally got my stinking printer running. But there's a new poll that just came out that basically shows first off, there's a new poll that shows who the winners are regarding the government shutdown fight. The Daily Caller reporting that Republicans and President Trump came out as the clear victors in negotiations that ended the recent government shutdown. This was a CBS News poll, apparently. The survey found Americans believe by a wide margin that Trump and congressional Republicans secured more favorable terms in the deal. Most Democrats now say their party's lawmakers gave up too much ground during negotiations. But there was another poll, or maybe it was that same one by CBS, and it was talking about the climate alarmist agenda. Let me see if I've got it here. I'm trying to find it. I might have to go back to the Daily Call. Is anybody else having computer issues where certain websites aren't pulling up and things like that? Both Caden and I in separate locations have been having those issues this morning, so it must be a broader internet outage type deal here. I think it was the Daily Caller, though, that also had a poll that shows that basically Americans are not buying into the climate alarmist agenda, that the numbers are turning in a bigger direction against the climate alarmist activist agenda. You know, it's almost as if every failed prediction and every the sky is falling prediction that never comes true, it's almost like eventually people start to say, huh, why are we listening to these people? Why do we give these people any credit whatsoever? Now, of course, we never did, but there's some people who fall for this stuff because there's so much propaganda surrounding it here, the climate alarmist agenda. Yeah, let me see if I can find that poll. I'll look during the break here. I'll see if I can track it down for you just to, because it would be interesting to look at the actual numbers here. I know I had it in front of me, but yeah. Anyway, I got a great opportunity to check it out right now as we listen to Sean Hannity with his morning commentary.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
AOC, you know, she's still complaining that worries that the shutdown deal shows the Democrats are weak. She's beyond apoplectic and angry at Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer. That's why Chuck Schumer's days are numbered. Senator Tim Kaine, but he doesn't really care at this point in his career, slamming AOC for ending the shutdown and not wanting to end the shutdown. And people are back to work. Paychecks are restored. She may think it's nothing. Virginians think an awful lot of it. But then Ro Connell says this is the last straw for Chucky Schumer. Then Senator Chris Murphy, Connecticut, it was a mistake for Democrats to open the government, you know, and the list goes on and on. And then, you know, to have the likes of Bill Maher be the voice of reason in the Democratic Party is pretty jarring to me.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
You know, and all the time I have been telling you about Pure Talk, my wireless company, a veteran-owned company, I can honestly say I've never seen an offer like this before. Listen to this. Unlimited talk, unlimited text, unlimited data with a 30-gig hotspot for just $29.95 a month for life. Friends, this is Pure Talk's top-tier plan. Normally $65 a month. Now, through December the 7th, just $29.95 a month, and you're saving over 50% a month every month for life. Now, remember, you get the same cell towers, same 5G network, pound 250, keyword, save now, do it now, the best offer you will ever get on cell service, pound 250, keyword, save now, from Pure Talk, my wireless company, a veteran-owned company, America's wireless company.
Taxes and fees not included. Some restrictions apply. See puretalk.com for details. Offer ends 12/7/25.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. A mix of clouds and sunshine develops today with high temperature readings sustained from around 53 in Bozeman to near 60 in the Billings area. For tonight, partly to mostly cloudy skies. Overnight lows will trend back in the mid and upper 30s. Isolated showers Wednesday, along with some partial sun, mid-40s in Bozeman, mid-50s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Man, after 4 hours of the morning show, I was trying to remember, which hour did we do a deep dive into COP30 and the climate changey stuff out of Brazil? I think it was the 6 o'clock hour of the show. Oh, but then we touched on it again a little later in the morning. Either way, if you miss 1 second of Montana Talks, all the audio is on the Montana Talks app. Just click the on-demand button. Or you can also get Montana Talks podcast via Spotify as well. But best ways to get the Montana Talks app on your phone.
Here's the morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I found it finally, just with seconds to go before announcer guy introduced us back on the air here. Yes, I was right. It was a Daily Caller piece here. Climate change concern plummets in big cities. Poll finds climate change concern plummets. Yeah, Caden, go ahead and send that caller back to me. If I don't know how we lost the caller, but yeah, you can always, if one accidentally drops and then they call back in, yeah, just go ahead and send it right away. No problem there. Thank you. Americans in big cities do not see climate change as a top issue anymore. This is according to an Associated Press and a new American Communities Project Ipsos poll. The poll says that although Americans in major urban areas listed climate change as the fifth highest policy issue in 2023, it has now fallen to ninth place in 2025 among the available choices. So this came out Monday. Inflation is the top issue in the minds of Americans in 2025. But yeah, in the big cities, which are basically the 48 counties with the greatest population density, climate change went from being a top five issue to now a number nine issue. That's pretty interesting. Tim and Savage on the phone lines. Tim, what's going on?
Oh, man, I had to pull over. I mean, I'm just shocked. I'm just shaking. I mean, climate change is an existential threat to society. We're going to kill ourselves. We're all going to die. How come they're not worried anymore?
Yeah, it's almost like it was all a big scam, right?
And sometimes we drop the phrase, climate religion, and but it truly is, because they're so focused in on themselves and that they believe that they are the center of the universe and they can change all of this, and failure to acknowledge a higher power, and they believe that they are that higher power. But yeah, it's starting to wonder, is it just because the folks in the cities have bigger things to worry about? But as soon as they get that handled and they get back on the government dole and get all their freebies, then they'll start to worry about climate change again. Or maybe these people are starting to see the light and realize that, you know, for the past 50 years blaming ourselves for normal climate shifts and swings is not being productive.
I look, for these people that live in these big cities, I could understand why they think the environment is awful and why they are susceptible to any, alarmist agenda out there regarding the environment, because they live in these concrete jungles. And But yet they always want to lecture us out here in places where we actually take care of the land, and we have farmers and ranchers that, and timber industry leaders that do an incredible job actually caring for the land. And yet they want to lecture us, and they want to create these new laws and regulations to go after us because their own backyard is a freaking train wreck.
But yeah, you had somebody on. I think you played it yesterday, and then also from last week, talking about the climate summit and being lectured by the city folks on, well, this is what you need to do. You need to care for the land. Well, I live right out here in the middle of farm and ranch country. There's nobody that cares for the land better than the farmers and ranchers. It's their livelihood. It's who they are. And they care about it more than anybody will ever understand.
We've got some farmland right next to us here outside of the subdivision, and saw a beautiful pheasant crossing the road yesterday, some clouds, some rain, and it's like, man, it's just like what a beautiful place we live in here in Montana. But these folks, you know, they hop on their public transit with some guy with a knife at their back right behind them, and all they see is graffiti and worn out old buildings and everything. And so of course they just assume that the world is ending and it's everybody else's fault, not theirs. Tim, great to hear from you. By the way, Tim, I know we got to hit the break here in about 20 seconds, but you were having problems getting on X this morning, so there must be some big computer issues region wide or something.
Climate change.
Yeah, that's
change,
right.
Aaron, you know that. Come on, don't be a denier.
Blame climate change for everything. Yeah, that's right. My dog ate my homework. It's the blame climate change is the new my dog ate my homework. All right, we'll get to Tom and Billings next hour.
From this campfire.
Dad, Smokey Bear said to.
Drown it with water, stir it with a shovel, and repeat until cool.
Wow, where can I learn all this?
It's all on SmokeyBear.com, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
The phone's blowing up, put you in the driver's seat. Ignore the buzz, keep your eyes on the street. No text back, no scroll, just let it wait. Attention on the road, that's the only way. Phone's blowing up, put you in the driver's seat. Ignore the buzz, keep your eyes on the street. No text back, no scroll, just let it wait.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.